April 20th, 2008. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. It's April 20, 2008, and once again I'm back in the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point with Brother Matt.
Howdy. Welcome back.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
And along with me and Brother Matt is Pete.
Hello.
Sean.
Hello.
Chaya.
Hola.
Welcome.
So, Sunday here in Pedro. Later on, got a gig with Tom and Raul, Missing Man in Long Beach. I think it's only like 8 miles.
Nice.
Yeah. Saturday, La Conga here in Pedro. I think that's a mile and a half.
Cool.
Way into that. And tonight, Tom and Raul get to...
New toys, huh?
Right. Do the set, operate, new machinery. Cool. I have got them... Tom, a new guitar, and Raul, a new drum set.
Bitchin'.
So, we'll see how it... I mean, they work hard for me. I'm just so happy to help them. So... we'll see how it goes. Brother Matt, you were in Mexico.
Yeah, I had a bitchin' trip. I was down paddling in the Sea of Cortez, checking out whales, camping on islands. It was righteous. It's like a Corona commercial. Yeah, just like TV.
What? Now, you were paddling.
Yeah, it was a little kayak adventure. So, like, everything that we needed for 8 days needed to be on the yak. So... it's like you were only allowed to travel with so much stuff, which was kind of weird parameters to travel by. But it had this
really?
Fitness dry bag.
You want some dude like driving along with you with a big truck full of...
No.
It was a self-sufficient.
Yeah, it was a trip. So all your food is on the yaks, everything you need for a week. So it was a trip.
And besides, you know, the mimicking of life on television, there was some nature, right?
Yeah, a bunch of nature. I saw a bunch of whales, all kinds of whales.
You were telling me you had an orangutan arm?
Yeah, if I had an orangutan arm, I could have pet the whale. I was that close. I was looking out there for a whale, like on the horizon, and one come up right next to me and totally squirt me.
Wow.
Twice that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. You said while you're caulking, you could hear them breathing?
Yeah, while you're in your tent there camping, you hear...
Oh, wow.
Just like coming up. So it was righteous.
Now you were also saying that whales are right and left-handed?
Yeah, you could tell with the gray whales if they're right or left-handed because the way they go down and kind of grunge on the bottom, scraping up stuff to chow, they kind of favor their left side or their right side. So that's how you can tell.
As they're coming down, you know, they're scraping their...
Yeah, and the gray whales...
on the deck of the sea.
The gray whales are really... Like, what's that?
You still call him like right or left-handed?
Well, probably flapper.
Flapper.
Yeah.
I'm right flapper. Flapper.
Well, flipper.
But the gray whales are really cool and friendly and social because they had their babies with them and they were like all proud and wanted to show them off. So they were like coming right up with big one with a little baby one right next to them.
Oh, my God.
Did you get pictures?
I got some pics, yeah.
What about whale turds? You see here?
I didn't catch any whale turds. But there was a whale placenta on the beach. Yeah, so it was like that was a fresh one.
Whoa.
That was over in
because they have babies, they probably can't show it.
It was the Pacific side. But the Cortez side was awesome. Sometimes the whole sea would just start boiling like all around you, and it'd be a feeding frenzy. Just yellowtail would start just leaping out of the water all around the boat. So that was cool.
Water was clean.
You could see like 75 feet. It was great visibility.
When are they going to get that happening over here? It's funny, too, because people have some people have this kind of down, pejorative view of southern neighbors.
Mm.
When the real basura's up here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had it going on good.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it was like a international reserve. That place between those three islands that I was at, it's like some blue whale breeding ground, one of the only blue whale breeding
ground.
So there are blue whales there.
Blue whales are
humpbacks,
the biggest in the world.
Yeah. Humpbacks and finbacks. Those were the four different kinds of whales I saw. So
did
that
you
was
see blues?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They big?
Yeah, they were huge, just way up in the air. Like
see any breach?
I saw humpbacks breaching.
You saw three whales?
Four altogether.
Four?
Yeah.
In the Sea of Cortez?
Well, the grays were on the Pacific side, and others were on the Sea of Cortez.
The grays are the ones that come up here.
Yeah, so I was hoping I'd, like, make a friend and then catch them paddling out here.
But you know, usually they're on the other side of Catalina.
Well, on the way back, they're usually hugging the coast a little more because they got their babies with them, so they're going a little slower.
Oh.
So, like this time of year, you can usually catch them more than on the way down because
there's
more of them.
And you see them between here and Catalina, that means they're sick.
Oh, no, they got, like, their regular route because when Marineland was there.
Yeah.
They used to hang out because they could tell the whales were up there in the tanks, and it was really trippy for them. So they used to kind of gather at that point, Vicente there.
Kind of like try to visit.
Yeah, like, what's up with those guys?
prisoners.
Because they're trippy.
Because sonar.
I know. I know that there was this problem about them. The way they find their partner is they put out songs. And their songs go all over the world. And when they started putting out this low frequency radio for submarines, it started
messing with
fucking with their songs. Also, the screws on the boats, right? The thing that makes them pushes them into the water. It puts up interference and messes with these songs. They call to each other all over. So I could see them knowing about the ones in those cells, cell tanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you got some pretty
Marineland. Now it's a new kind of
it's
aquarium.
A weird place.
It's a condo, right?
Yeah, condos. And it's like a whole new world out there now. It's kind of sad.
Is that why you make music?
Is that why I make music?
I think that's why I make music.
Yeah. Why?
To call out to your
to partners?
Yeah. To people.
Cool.
I write love songs.
Right.
You do.
That's why we make music?
I was just kidding.
Yeah, I read something about Townsend saying he joined a band to get girls.
Oh, yeah, that's very common.
Townsend said not bad enough. I got in a band to be with D-Bone. You know, I was young.
To reject girls.
Huh?
To reject girls.
Because we practice, boys only, the clubhouse. Right? You see those Dolly Boy things?
Yeah.
There's always no girls on the clubhouse.
Spanky.
There's a sign. There was one girl, right? Darla or something.
Yeah.
That is why we got three girls here today. Now they're making a mess.
Even it up. I think things like that get confusing, and it's not so clear cut. But with the whales, I think they made it more econo, the reasoning.
Yeah, they just got their routine. Chow. Go hook up. That's their trip.
Again, much like
you don't think they play?
Yeah, they seem like they play. I caught some.
I know dolphins
out here jumping around. Just jumping out there for half hour.
And I was up by the buoy. Did you get my little thing?
Oh, yeah.
Sea lions, the young sea lions were like leaping all over and playing like crazy. Someone got a little belige, like they're like kind of biting. But nothing, not really rough.
There's a bunch of seals up in the seal center right now.
Get this. I called the lifeguard. I went by buoy 3 there, and I saw a woman, maybe a young adult. And fishing line all around the neck and cutting in, you know, where there's white foam,
because
it's cutting into her so bad. And the week before that, I saw two young ones, juveniles, in the Long Beach side. I took Dandy Don Dalton.
Right.
I have to go on Long Beach. That's where they rent. And there was two dead ones. And they were just dead because they were floating but not bloated yet. And they look like drowned, so maybe net.
Yeah, there's still all kinds of.
And 10 feet from each other. I've never seen two dead ones so close to each other. I've seen dead ones where they have been in the sun and bloating, and turning brown, their skin crack, and even bones in the flipper hand. Yeah, and a bad smell. And there was no smell, so I know these dudes were not dead long. But anyway, that woman was still alive, a woman sea lion on buoy 3, and I towed the lifeguard. And right away, a port police boat went out there, I think, to get it. Because we got a hospital here.
Yeah, it's right up by our school.
By the way, you know Brother Matt at his school. Somebody's got a sign here, Angel Gate High. See this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's all kinds of...
Brother Matt was at a chow last night to present him with Teacher of the Year 2008 Award.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a cool surprise.
But no tie, right?
No tie.
And no square. No. They were going to give him the award. They had to give the real Brother Matt the award.
Yeah,
not something like a fraud.
So they wanted a little bio. The last minute, so I just been heard back on the radio. So I said, in the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. So my administrator kind of like that. She didn't use it.
Monkeys got tails.
Yeah.
With apes don't.
Yeah.
Chimp.
Orangutan. But, yeah, it was cool. And it was at Ante's.
Yeah. Good show there.
Yeah. And,
you've been at Ante's?
My first paid gig there like 33 years ago washing dishes, so it was weird.
Oh, you looked
it. Full circle.
You looked it.
Yeah, that was a trip.
You should have went into the kitchen to congratulate.
Well, Tony came out.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because now that Auntie's been gone for a while now. Mm. They named the street after him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there. It's an old slab restaurant. Auntie Perka, big man in this town, that's all we was always generous.
Yeah, he always
generous.
Had the biggest American flag because he was so proud to be here.
Yeah, right. But... Wouldn't take.
He always had a carnation behind his.
Yeah, but wouldn't take sides when the war thing came down.
No,
because he had family still over there.
Yeah, he was American now.
Yeah, he's a sweet guy, and his son Vince. Mm-hmm. I lived with him in the man boat, went to high school. Tony was a teacher there.
Yeah,
Tony's taking over the family. He's a
patriarch
of the
Perkoff
Collective.
Yeah, but they got a good child.
I think
down
he was
there.
Doing like in the, when we went to high school.
Yeah, he was a special ed teacher.
Right, and because his classroom, he let it be used for the chess club.
Oh.
At lunch, and they'd smoke the mota and play the chess.
Yeah, he was one of the young
kids. You know what I liked about chess? Like, no dice.
Mm.
There's no randomness.
Mm.
So when you lose, you really lose.
Yeah, you plotted that out or you didn't.
You're beaten. It's, you know, the tipping of the king was like a harsh moment, but it was training in humility.
Mm.
You couldn't blame it. Well, there was one thing you could blame on. You know what kibitz is?
It's a little room with consciousness.
It's a Yid word, an old Yiddish word. But you're engaged with the game really hard, huh? You and your opponent. And so... it's everything constant. Somebody just walking up to the game sees a fresh look and like a serendipity. So they can see stuff that you're oblivious to because you're too engaged, too close. And so they just call this out. And that's called kibitz. It's not your game and you just blurt out a fucking thing. It's sort of like touting at a pony track, you know. But... And of course you got this because you haven't been engaged, you know? And all of a sudden you come there and the board is all fresh.
Yeah, like when you walk up and someone's playing solitaire and you just see all of their moves.
Right, right, because you... the serendipity, huh? Mm. And so that was the one bunk thing. You could, like, blame it on the kibitzer.
Mm.
But if everyone left alone... In fact, that was very bad protocol. Manners, bad manners to do. So, you're just engaged with the cat, and then, you know, you go down. Also, like, on Mota, too, so, like, kind of confused.
There's a couple cases in the news recently where school boys have found out, like, there's a mistake on one was a NASA, something like astrophysics stuff, and some kid came in and, like, oh, this is a mistake.
Oh, my God.
I think one was an exhibit of a galaxy of some sort, and he said, well, that's not a galaxy.
He could point out something.
Yeah, don't quote me on it, but it's like a specific thing or an error of something. It's like, that's not an error, it's something else. It's like, he was like 8 years old.
Yeah, wow. Right. And all these people engaged in it. PhD and
another case I think is like a 13-year-old disproved that the chance of asteroid hitting the Earth instead of 45,000 to 1.
Yeah,
he refigured the math to 450 to 1, and all the scientists conceded. I'm like, yeah, he was right.
Wow.
So he's like, it reminds me of
Eric Kibitz,
Matthew Broderick. war games.
Scientist on Mozart.
What's this?
He was in some. He was a kid who figured out the Pentagon's war game computer system.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to say what we heard. We started off with John Coltrane. Say he does song flute. And then You Are Alive by Linda Bajala. Or Bajala. B-J-A-L-L-A. It's probably Biala? Espanol?
Depends what part Kaya? Of town you're from.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Her name, B-Y-J-A-L-L-A.
I don't think it's B-Y. Mm-hmm.
Two L's would be like a Y, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Slav.
Yeah, it might be Slav.
But yeah, yeah.
Foreign.
It's definitely...
Yeah, but the guy, it's from Bearsuit Records. They sent me a compilation of their new stuff, and said she's from Japan. So maybe she's Gaijin. Right? Obviously. And, yeah... And they gave me something else too, but play that right now. And then some of you guys' music. Rock Pedro.
Thank you. Close your eyes and breathe. by the pony. Is to die by the pony. I'm gonna say it once again. To live by the pony is to die by the pony.
double meaning. Spending my money, I didn't even care. Taking all my friends out for a good time. Buying champagne, cocaine, brandy, grass and wine. But in 1954, when I began to fall down low, didn't have any friends or any place to go. But if I ever get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna squeeze it and squeeze that mother till the eagle grins. No, nobody knows. When you're down and out, oh yeah, in your pocket, not one penny, and you're you can't find any. But if I ever, I swear if I ever get on my feet again, I pray and I hope I don't need my lifelong friend. But it's strange, without a doubt, nobody knows when you're down and out. Nobody knows you when you're broke.
A Watt from Pedro show. Noisy Sunday is Pedro here. Nothing like having a hatch at Love Grotto.
It's not freezing.
No, it ain't. And last week, in fact, was pretty hot.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's cool.
I should say the songs. We started that chunk off there with Human Beings by, I like to name this band. It's from Japan. They're called Alone Together.
I heard it.
True.
Band. You know that band?
I heard of the name of the band.
Pretty good musicians.
Good.
And then Koreans with A Happier Man. And we were talking about this because I think they're from Texas. There ain't no Korean people in the band. Probably no happier man in the band.
So we're going to start
a... So it's just arts for pretending, transcending,
we'll start,
you know,
a band
trivial realities.
Right.
What were you talking about? Yeah, there's a band called Thailand.
Yeah.
With no Thai people.
Yeah. Bangkok Five.
And you wrote them.
Bangkok Five is the one
Bangkok
I wrote.
Bangkok Five.
Because I was kind of disturbed by their hair.
Hair band.
Image.
Yeah.
Like, what is with
they
the
name?
They
just played at Safari Sands.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They kind of had an attitude. But I guess it goes with the band. And then...
Tons of poses.
Yeah. So we brought up Japan, also another band.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's from England.
Yeah.
But the America band is from U.S. Right, Brother Matt?
The horse with no name.
With no brain. Stooges, I remember we were working on songs... They gave me a batch of songs for the what became the Weirdness album, and there was a tune on there called A Horse with No Brain.
Did it get scratched?
It didn't make the cut.
No.
It was a good song, though. Maybe it'll come back. Then we had this band, Snore. I think they're from Georgia. And a song called Silver. And then, Pete, you picked this last song, Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, by Jimmy Witherspoon.
Yes.
And you were surprised to find out that Brother Matt had, in fact, interviewed him.
Right.
Yeah, Evolution Day.
Brother Matt used to be a DJ at KXLU and had his own show. How many years? Eight? Six?
About six, I guess.
6 years. Okay. Called The Blues Shift. And he played a lot of blues and had cats on. Yeah. Played live and spiel with him.
Live. And Jimmy Witherspoon, he had throat cancer.
Yeah.
And then, that's terrible for a singer. Terrible for anybody, but he had his surgery and his voice actually got better after his surgery. So it's kind of a
That's wild.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing to find out that he got famous in India first. Oh. Right? Something about that. He was singing in India during the World War II era.
Sometimes you're more appreciated in the foreign thing.
Yeah.
Than back at home. Although he's well known in the U.S., Jimmy Witherspoon.
Yeah, so this morning
and you just bumped into it. You knew nothing about it,
Yeah,
right?
I know nothing about anything. But this morning I woke up and, you know, turned on some iTunes Shuffle, and that came up and it's like...
You turn on iTunes Shuffle?
Yeah.
What's that?
You turn on a computer, turn on iTunes, and click Shuffle.
Oh, that means you must have had the tune then. Oh, it's on a compilation of various artists.
Yeah, and it was kind of perfect for the weather this morning. Somehow I feel like, you know, it's kind of the blues Sunday morning with the overcast, kind of cold out a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
I pedaled my brains out. You were up late last night, 12 hours with Nels Klein.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah.
They played 12, one stop for that. What was that chow called? That Armenia burrito thing?
Tana Rap.
I was trying to explain to these guys. I couldn't remember.
Zanku
really
chicken.
Good. Yeah. And what's the name of the pad?
Zanku. It's quite famous.
I think there's
locally.
A few of them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Armenia chow, really good.
What part of town is it?
It's all over. It's like
this one was close to downtown.
This one was Glendale.
Oh, because you were coming from.
Yeah.
Glassell.
Yeah, it's actually like around the corner from Nails's place. So.
We were in the studio doing guitar overdubs because Nels has to leave town again,
mm-hmm.
and he just spent 5 days
straight
with his solo album.
Yeah, amazing. I was there a couple of times too.
You were there for that
crazy.
Too.
That guy's a genius.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it was incredible. He put guitar, 12-string guitar, 6-string guitar, and sitar guitar.
Sitar guitar.
Wow.
Right, not a real sitar, but electric guitar to make it sound like one.
Oh.
But tiny thing, a custom trip made from Dan Electro parts and stuff. Wow. And, I mean, me, him, and Bob Lee had done 12 songs, the basics and stuff, and he comes on to put stuff on. Not so much to pile on, but... Because I like the way the thing breathes, so, but the different sounds and stuff, I can alternate. He's got very interesting conversations with the drummer and the bass, but also with the other guitars. And this is the genius of it, because he had to make this stuff up in the moment while he was just listening. And relearn, you know, stuff he had, two weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I had to get him now. You know, because he's going to be gone. He comes back next week to do that Richie Hass benefit. Doses too, Steve Reed Hass. It's so sad about Richie that cancer killed him. That benefit we did last year.
Yeah, right. That's sad.
But so I couldn't bogart on that time, so I had to get everything yesterday, and I hated putting weight on him. But he was very enthusiastic. No whining.
Will Collins.
And Jimmy, the knob guy. He's guitarist too, and he played more in one day than I do
in two months.
It was amazing, and the focus was inspiring, the concentration, and what he brought to the songs.
From my own experience this week alone, watching Nels work on his own project in contrast with working on your stuff, it's actually quite amazing for me to see how a certain polish comes out when it contrasts with what your song material. And I was so, I mean, I, you know.
Contrast with what? His lack of polish with his own songs?
No, I mean, it's the con... I can't explain that in, that would make sense, but it's just a different, I mean...
Oh, that's trivial.
If you are watching somebody create their own thing by themselves, you have a certain, you tune into a different frequency to what they're doing by themselves, but when they're working with somebody else, there's different dynamics going on.
So
you start picking up the contrast and what the emphasis are on when the let me see, I'm losing it, but it's the compliments that is coming up, you know, like how you
also foreign. He doesn't know my thoughts so much.
Yeah.
Where with his own piece, he kind of knows.
Mm-hmm.
little bit.
Right. And
I kind of did that, especially with this, because I did this one like the first opera, where I didn't want him to know the singing or how the songs were, because I wanted to have him react to the music in the moment. But he was way into and scared shit out of Bob Lee. Bob Lee, I don't make records like this, you know. And I said, well, try it.
And I have to say, this album is really, I was really floored listening to it. Just the playback, it's like, I can't wait for it. To hear it when it's finished, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it was another thing when I was making it. I didn't let him listen to playbacks.
Oh my god,
it was really wow. cool.
Just go for
That's
it.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can do records the other way, and I do it usually with my guys, like with the Missing Men. That's how I do it. We'll practice it all and almost do a gig in front of the mics. But with this crew and with Nels and all his years of improvisation and stuff, mm-hmm. why not take advantage of that?
Yeah.
And Bob Lee. Him being new to it, you bring something new to the project, and that gives another perspective on it. Mm-hmm. Spins on us too, so it's an important record for me.
Yeah.
But I like the idea. I really think Nels is a gift to our scene.
Yeah.
Our people making music, period. So for me to get to, you know, put my songs for him.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. It was solid, like below all that stuff, and you kind of let him have the run of working on and around your solid song
with
structure.
With the bass?
Yeah, the song structure.
Yeah,
overall.
The bass is strange, I think, too, to have first.
Yeah, which is it's actually
most
I
people write on the
that.
Guitar or the piano.
I actually prefer the bassist songwriters.
Yeah, me too.
You like the bass player writing the songs on bass?
Yeah.
It does open up a lot of space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as retarded as writing on the kick drum and the cymbals. I mean, it leaves a lot, you know.
There are those
and with, people. And with Nels, you know, again, just let the freak flag fly. You don't have to. I think with bass, you're not tied down to melody.
Well,
so kind
of a little, yeah. I always feel like
it's more about
bass,
rhythm.
Bass is both.
Yeah,
it's both. It's like
well, it's got a little bit.
Yeah,
there's a melody and a rhythm.
I in some songs I put melody in that summer song. I put a melody.
Right.
But sometimes I play bassy. Sometimes I play like Dos.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I put? You're almost thinking this thing's got to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it wasn't going to be alone. I wrote it for him.
Mm-hmm.
When you figure it's going to be
all there? Got well, now it's all Watt. There's 13 songs.
Can't wait.
Not 12. So there's one more to do, but it's just voice and bass. So that'd be me. And then I got to put the singing on the other ones. And then mix it with Jimmy. And so...
And
hopefully I do get it done quick, because I got Stooges touring coming up, so it'll have to happen. And also I'm going to record in Japan, so I'm going to be back and forth, so I think I'm going to have to do it in the holes. Mm-hmm. Important thing was getting first Bob Lee and Nels, and then Nels, because the other thing's up to me. But when you're with other people's times, you know, and Raul will try to be so patient with me. And then Pete and Jer, I mean, there's going to be a trilogy of these things.
Oh, good.
Okay? I had to do them out of order. It was supposed to be the Missing Men out of my third opera first, because Nels is... commitments, I shouldn't say restrictions, but he commits to so many other things. I had to get him now while I had time.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom and Raul can wait for me. And then even more can wait for me is Pete and Jer, because they live in town and they've got families and working on the docks, and they can wait probably long. So they'll be the third.
That's
so
nice.
First this autumn record,
mm-hmm.
done in the spring, and then the third opera about the Bosch paintings, but now I worked in another layer about Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. I'll tell you about that.
Wow.
And it's weird, too, because it came after the song, so I went and reworked all the tunage. But it's little tunes, like Minutemen tunes. And then third one is with Pete and Jer, Second Man, organ, bass, drum. And it's about work. So those are my next three band things.
Cool.
And the fourth Dos album is being mixed now. And you know what? I think we're at the end of the first hour, so we've got to say goodbye until hour two. Hold tight. April 20, 2008. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Bird flying high, you know what I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. Feeling good. In the sea, you know what I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom. It's a new day, it's a new life for me, feeling good. Dragonfly up in the sun, you know what I. Butterflies all are having fun. You know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day's done. That's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom is mine, I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
Watt from Pedro Show. We just heard Memories of a Dream Under the Influence of Sleep by Decay of the Angel, put out on Chuck Tukowski's label, Nice and Friendly. And then we heard, thank you, Talia. That was loud. But you know what? That hatch won't be shut for long because it seems it gets closed.
It opens itself.
And it gets.
Because you're smoking in here.
Is that why?
Yes.
Well, it makes it worse.
The smoking, though, is to cover up the farts. You laugh.
So it's back to you.
Into right when them laws came about, no more in the bars, didn't they start stinking there?
There's one.
Still loud. Okay, and then we heard a song that you picked, Pete, called Dreamin' Mosh by John Ellis and Double Wide. What's that about?
John Ellis is a good friend of mine, and he just this album just came out.
Is that who you called?
Yeah, who I just called and asked.
Because she brings music, and she won't like, you know, it's really
annoying,
slavery and demanding like of me to not want to know who the artist is and the name of the track.
Well, I am not
so she went the extra 10,000 miles and went and fetched that information from the very man, right?
I'm sorry. I talked over you.
You fetched that information. You went.
Yeah.
Well, opened up your generous heart and.
I had to. This album actually is.
You called him on a Sunday morning. Was he bumming?
No, he's in New York.
Ah, 3 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a really, really great album. It's one of my favorite jazz guys that I happen to know. right now, he just this album is a mixture of straight ahead jazz in the, and he brought in tuba. I guess it's not substitute, but in place of a bass, and Gary Versace on organ, and
your voice is all little.
Because I'm intimidated by you. I'm sorry, organ and accordion.
It was all booming before.
Yeah, organ and accordion, and Matt Perrin on tuba, Terry, I'm blanking out on names, the famous last name on drums. this is the most famous last name in the jazz right now, and I forget. Anyways, but yeah, check it out. John Ellis is a really, really, really great album. New Orleans sound. Really witty, witty guy. Okay, so now that the mic is pointing direct to me, I would have nothing to say.
Okay, and the first song was Carmen McRae doing Feeling Good. That's live, huh?
Mm-hmm.
From a concert. Now, we were talking off air here about the song Feeling Good, because me and Talia did cover this for a band called Lil Pit.
Yeah.
You guys didn't know about Lil Pit.
Yeah.
The stand-up bass band that I made. Because I figured if I had a band and it was going to record, we put a record out on Kill Rock Stars, that I would have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very difficult machine. I mean, it's hard for me to learn anything, but that motherfucker is special. But it's beautiful. The way the sound comes out, it's hard to record. I just played with a cat. You know, they've got a new thing. In fact, I think Devin Hoff, we're going to play some more Devin Hoff. We played
Devin.
Some last. Yeah, we played some. Look, the voice got all big.
Yes. For Devin, yes. Always.
He's got a solo album we played out. He plays stand-up, and he's going to have to start touring with these things called URBs, which is an upright bass.
Yes.
But it's, for some reason, I think it's called... acronym used, not by an acoustic one, and one that's just a neck, because traveling is so hard for him with
it's
this
electric upright.
Yeah, but they're called URBs. That's slang among bass players. And it means just a neck. And sometimes I have a little a little piece of metal or wood to be like kind of a body, so you lean against it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, it's got a pickup down there on the neck, so you don't have to worry about sound resonating from a giant violin part like a real stand-up bass. And Monday I was in San Francisco to do a gig Tuesday, but I came a day early to record with Eric McFadden and his trio. He's got a guy named James on a URB. So I recorded with bass guitar, my little red one, and James on the, and Apollo on drums. 10 hours.
Wow.
And we did 4 songs in a big jam. We did one of the songs was a Funkadelic cover, Super Stupid, off Maggot Brain. Good song. And Eric's a good guitar player. He's originally from Albuquerque. He's been living up there a long time. And he said he's always wanted to record with me. And I'm trying to record as much as I can. So I did that. And then he nails, because he was doing his... What's the name of this record he's doing?
Coward.
Coward? That's right. And then there's a piece on there called Onan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Gosh,
it's got different movements inside it.
I didn't know about Onan, but it's a mystery.
Onan. Onan's in the Bible, the spilling of the seed. Onanism is like,
and
that beaten off, masturbating.
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah.
It's and so if you use it, I mean, that's physical. I think he was a... There's a story in the Bible about him not letting the seed in the lady and
the pull out.
Yeah, not making a baby.
Yeah,
and that's like big no.
It's a big sin.
Yeah, and so but it also has come to mean like self-involved person.
Yeah,
just
it's an amazing piece.
Yeah, and so he was. I was talking to him about the evasive onanist. It was like funny when we were doing the basics because he didn't know about this. I didn't know about his piece.
Yeah.
It was just weird serendipity, synchronicity or something. That's it, synchronicity.
Fluke.
So anyway, back to the San Francisco adventure. I mean, they're really hard. I mean, one reason why Leo Fender called the P bass a precision is because it's got frets. So even though James, great player, still some out of tune. I mean, there's no.
Yeah.
And he was bowing. He was. It's called arco when you do that. So it would contrast with my bass.
Fancy player.
And I was being like Nels. I was thinking about what you said. When you work for someone else rather than yourself, it is a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to realize their thing and help them. Even though you're bringing your experiences, it's still different than something that you realize in your own mind. And that's how I was for these guys. They thought I was being maybe a little too much serious or something.
Too serious?
Perfectionist or whatever. Not digging the clams, like, please do it again. And you could tell that the drummer was beating him up a little bit. But he bared with it, you know. And there's a lot of change. One of the tunes was kind of a worker. But anyway, did that. And then because of Nels doing his own album, he couldn't be there for the banging gig. So Eric McFadden played in his place.
Player.
Which was kind of intense. At the Red Devil Lounge. And then, but before that gig, on Tuesday, I went and recorded across the bay in Oakland with a band called Kit, which the Touchdown Brothers from XBXRX.
Something.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I was just trying to mess you.
Little Voice?
Yeah. Hi, I'm the Little Voice in this story. I came
anyway, they did their, they ran four songs by me and I played with them and it was like, whoa, you know, so a lot changed. So I just thought, well, I'm just going to like kind of be like Coltrane. Not be, they already had a bass player too. It was Chris was on drums and his brother, Stephen, was on bass. And then they had a cat named George on guitar. It was like, wow, well, I'll just play over the top like this. And they really dug it. So I went for it. And that was only about three or four hours. And then, but all the playing, man, I came back, and then I came back, and it was the Mint gig with Nels, probably last band gig for a while.
Wednesday night.
A lot of square jumps. Oh, that weird opening act.
I didn't see them.
Yeah, they were doing Bowie cover and Rolling Stone.
It was the bartender's band, yeah?
Yeah, it was the bartender's band, right.
So
he's singing good and stuff, but like it was all...
Yeah.
And faithful covers, not really twisted.
Yeah.
And but it's kind of square John audience, right?
Right.
Probably people go there and drink and his friends. And so when we came out, I think kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Actually, the band was on fire that night. Yeah.
Huh?
You guys were on fire.
I know, but I think it weirded out the straighter people. Don't
that's
know.
That's pretty much your point, right?
I know. I close my eyes all the time, but. I'm not really bringing this up to embarrass anybody or anything, but my hands were so fucking swollen from all the playing. I tried to play Thursday, and I couldn't. I played a little bit in
like
daytime.
Practice.
I did recorded some stuff.
Mm.
Sam, this guy I know from England, sent me 11 songs. So this guy from Canada, Steve, he sent me a whole album.
Yeah.
You know, I said I'd like to play on some of your music. It's pretty interesting. Here's a whole fucking album. Learn it. Like Nels, it's kind of karma, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him to do this night of me. So I got my thing cut out. But anyway, I tried to play.
Feel free to say no.
This one band sent me a thing that had like 500 chords. Jackson, please send me the chords. You know, instead of just all by ear, it had so many changes.
And you
back
did
and
them?
Forth.
Did you do them?
I just got the changes. So they helped. A little bit of a crutch. I mean, it was like, you know, I like this idea of playing with all these different people and stuff, you know, with my Pro Tools and little. What's the name of the studio? Came up at your Thunder Pants. Yeah, Thunder Pants.
It's amazing, a new... like a
but the Pro Tools right in the pad.
It's quite interesting, the new way of collaboration.
Yeah.
That's made possible by technology. Mm-hmm. And
right, right. I think it'll come to a point where you can almost play live with them over the internet. When our connections get faster.
You can.
Where you can jam and you don't even have to get the file from them.
You can do it right
it's
now.
It's slightly delayed
really?
Going yeah. on, yeah?
Yeah, there must be some latency.
Yeah.
Not much, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy. I have to check that out.
Yeah. I'll send you a link.
Because in that way, you'd be like kind of playing in real time. But on the other hand, when you do sit there with their song, at least you can rewind it and have another try.
And there could be a stadium full of people watching a screen at somebody's music of you guys in different places. Oh,
that would be cool.
Yeah. Totally get to own in his in their own chambers. This is the only way we.
You never leave home anymore.
Right, right, right. That's that. You know about that site, Al Eingon? Somebody we were calling at somebody's house. I was on tour with my second man or somebody, one of my bands, and we conked, and this guy showed us this site called solosuck.com. And it's about this guy learns you how to suck yourself off, and he's got a disclaimer saying, you know, I take no responsibility if you never leave the house again. He's got these testimonials 24/7. Once was a man from Nantucket.
I wonder how many
self-sufficient.
How many hits that site? One
was called
people who go
because he can. And then these guys send him pictures, and they're very similar. One guy had his glasses. All bent up. It's like a technique up against the wall, upside down on your head almost.
Did you try
it?
No. Well, this is fascinating. I feel I feel even worse for them. It's like, gosh, is that what it comes down to?
Very lonely.
Very lonely world out there.
We're trying to share through music on the internet. using the file. So I try to play Thursday. Sorry for that tangent there.
But
Thursday, I tried to play.
Each other if it wasn't for the internet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe for the better.
In the way they're trying to keep it that way. Thank you, Al Eingon. So you got to the point where we're on the road and driving by, you see the little pump house, little sheds and stuff. And you're like, cause that's all you need, right? You don't need other rooms. You just pad. So we all like imagining, you know, this is the perfect, you know, Al Eingon. But back to Thursday, I was trying to play bass, and my hands were so swollen. They were so swollen, I couldn't fucking play.
Wait, why were your hands swollen?
It was all the bass.
Oh, right.
Another weird. So tonight I'll play hard. Tom and Raul with others.
Tom Raul now? Oh no, you've always called him wrong. He's Raul.
Okay, Brother Matt, it's been a long time since we had a spin cycle.
Yeah, I'm going to try something new going off of the iTunes here.
What?
I'm old.
Shuffle?
Yeah. No, I'm not shuffle. But I got a little glitch mop for you.
Glitch mop. Okay. So take it away, Brother Matt.
You and I got to get conscious. You and I got to get conscious. So you and I got to get conscious. I got to get conscious.
We'll be right back.
All right, Brother Matt. We got some echo there. Hey, much respect for the return of the spin cycle.
Thank you.
Been missing it. Been jonesing for it. So those were some good spins there. We had some good raps in the background. This time we didn't have the jam like we usually did. But the end of the second hour of the April 20, 2008 Watt from Pedro show, happy 61st birthday to Iggy. I called him up and wished.
Happy
I got
birthday.
The machine.
Happy birthday, Iggy.
Yeah, and hold tight for hour three. April 20, 2008, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show, and here's part seven of Jack Flanders in Dreams of India.
Jack.
So, you went back to the palace last night?
Mm-hmm. How did you know?
Ramchandra told me that he gave you a lantern. He watched you walk up the hill.
Well, I thought I'd take a midnight stroll.
And?
Hmm?
Do you find it was haunted?
No. Don't you have any coffee?
Tea. No ghosts appeared.
No.
Ah.
Now you're disappointed.
I thought perhaps you were a sensitive Mr. Flanders.
A sensitive? Oh, a psychic? No. I didn't see a ghost. But I did sense something in the corner, near the ceiling. And it was curious about me. When I spoke to it, it replied. But in my own voice.
In your own voice?
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty good mimic.
What did it say?
It quoted Tagore.
Yes?
It said, "The night kisses the fading day, whispering to his ear, 'I am death, your mother. I am to give you fresh birth.'"
You weren't frightened?
Mm-mm.
So, the palace is haunted?
No, that wasn't a spook.
A spook? A ghost?
No, it was something else. I don't know what. But, well, I lost my body.
What?
I was invisible.
And where did you find your body?
Actually, it joined me as I was running down the hill. Do you care to tell me anything? Well, if you'll excuse me.
Sit down. Now that you've experienced what is in there, do you feel you can confront it?
Well, first I'd like to know what it is. Is this the it that I've heard so much about?
Yes.
So what is it, a genie or something?
Yes, I think so.
Oh.
We call them jinns.
You know, I thought jinns were out of the Arabian Nights.
The stories in the Arabian Nights came from India.
Oh. So, genies, I mean jinns were...
Not were. Are.
Ah. Are from... They're from here. Oh. Well, how mischievous are they?
They can be quite devilish.
Oh, they do have a sense of humor.
Indeed.
You know, I'm not really very good at exorcising old summer palaces.
It doesn't inhabit the palace.
But I saw... Well, all the rooms in the palace are empty except for one. Why is that?
It was, its request.
Oh. And you want me to get rid of it?
Hardly.
But...
Well, I feel we've discussed this enough for the moment.
But... What do you want me to do?
Speak to it.
Right.
You've been quiet today.
Jinns.
She told you.
Finally.
But she didn't tell you everything.
No, of course not.
What are you planning to do?
Wait.
Wait for her to tell you?
Yeah. It's all right. I like it here.
I don't think you have time to wait.
Why? Oh, you people are so strange.
What?
It's so deceiving. Anyone with an education in this country speaks English, so I assume we understand each other. But your culture, it's so alien. There's only the illusion of communication. I'm always missing something, or saying something that offends, and I haven't the slightest idea why.
Oh, Jack, don't be so sensitive.
Well, it's true.
Jack, look at it from our point of view. Americans also speak English, and they are usually very insensitive, if not offensive. But we like them.
Well, thank you. Kamala, dear, sweet, beautiful, exotic creature that you are, why is time of the essence?
Jack, my aunt has always had so much energy, so much life to her. But now,
Well, what does she have?
It isn't what she has, it's what has her.
The genie. The djinn.
Yes.
She made a pact with a djinn to get out of the life that had been arranged for her. And now, this spirit has come to collect. Is that it?
I doubt it's that simple.
No, of course not. So, this is the summer palace of the Maharaja of Mysore, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What is that painted on the walls? Battles between the English and the Maharaja's troops?
Yes, it took years before the English were able to conquer the south.
Huh. So how the hell do you get rid of djinns? Yeah, I always thought they came out of lamps or bottles.
Well, they've been known to appear in your sleep.
So there's no escape, is there? Are all these paintings of battles with the English?
Mm-hmm.
Horses leaping over barricades, sabers, lances, elephants. It's all so fierce and noble.
Have you ever noticed the way my aunt suddenly looks up the hill?
At the palace.
Yeah, as if she's heard someone call to her.
Yeah, I have noticed that. But I just can't read that look on her face.
Well, it's not fear. It's like being intensely in love with someone, or obsessed, and then parting, and years again, meeting again, recalling, but knowing it's gone.
I don't understand.
Jack, I think she's getting ready to die.
What?
I just realized that.
How can I help?
You can't.
Oh.
Unless...
Yes?
You...
Me? Yes?
You have to...
I have to what?
You have to become...
Become? Yes, come on, next word.
Become the man who said he was you.
You mean... Wear a white beard and pretend that I'm 90 years old?
Don't you understand?
No.
She respects him. She knew he could help her. That's why she sent me to bring you here.
I know, but I don't...
When she realized you weren't him, she gave up.
Yes, but...
But then when you told her your experience in Delhi, walking down the street and everything turning to light, she just opened up to you.
Yeah, she opened up for about 30 seconds.
Don't you understand?
I have to become the one who said he was me?
Right.
Great. You know, whoever did those paintings appears to depict both sides with equal nobility. But you know what? After having seen the palace... This exquisite culture that the English invaded and conquered. I suddenly realized who the real barbarians were.
Startling, isn't it? So, Jack, have you thought about... Where are you going?
I'm going to see if I can find a good cup of coffee. Then I'm going to sit down and read your manuscript.
Coffee, Gurchitya.
Pardon?
Oh, yes. What would you like?
Do you have coffee?
Nescafe.
No. I mean coffee. Real coffee. Strong.
Ayo, no problem.
Very strong now.
Very, very strong.
Where was I? Ah, yes. Here. There was another time this strange possession took hold of my aunt. It was in Benares. She suddenly decided we should rent a boat and be rowed out into the Ganges. When we reached the middle of the river, we just sat there, silent, listening.
Copy, sir.
Oh, thank you. Killer coffee.
We could hear music and voices. We could see the flames on the banks where they cremate the dead. My aunt sat there, as though transfixed by the burning ghats and the sounds coming from the banks of the river. She took my hand, and she looked at me with the strangest eyes.
My child, as you grow, you are developing only superficial understanding and outer vision. It is the inner vision that is important. It alone is true and sacred. You lose sight of the one reality, of your own truth, because you pay attention only to the impermanent outer vision and forget completely the permanent inner vision. God's mission is to restore this sacred inner vision. That is what he does when he comes as avatar. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said to Arjun, "Child, whatever actions you perform during the time when you are on this earth, know that they are all impermanent. In time, you will discover that everything in this world is temporary. Your relationships, your attachments, your accomplishments, the sense of individuality you have developed, all are going to disappear. Everything gets washed away in the flow of time. If you try and catch hold of things and cling to things which are themselves being carried away by this flow of time, what chance is there for you to be saved and to reach that perfection which is forever unaffected by this flow, which not only is never subject to it, but is always its master?"
What you do with your gut? thinking.
What from Pedro show? Start off the third hour, part 7, Jack Flanders and Dreams of India.
Jack.
India.
Relearning something you always knew. That's what it's all about with Jack. Then we heard Confection by Nels Klein Singers. And then after that,
my band.
We heard the bass player for the Nels Klein Singers with his newest release.
My pal.
Which is called, what's it called? Solo Bass, of course, and that's what it is. Solo Bass by Devin Hoffman. The tune was The Ideal, which is what Peak wanted to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we heard Chato Ghetto, Chris Candy's band, which Miss and Men are playing with tonight in Long Beach. Hopefully get the show up. As soon as I get home, I'm going to get this encoded and put it up so maybe in time so you can come on down the Prospector and see Raul with his new drum set and Tom Watson with his new guitar. And one is silver sparkly and one is purple sparkly. And I just have beat down red. But I like her. I like this. Did I talk about with that show we did last? Peak was the only one there for the last radio show, and I had done that dose gig where I fucking, it was terrible. I had been in the studio with the big bass.
Mm.
Did I talk about this?
Mm-mm.
I would use the Thunderbird in the front, you know, used to the finger, sitting down, I can do it. But then live, I went and did the dose gig, and my fingers were on the wrong place. It was the most humiliating. I really let her down, man. That was bad. Bad gig. But now I'm practicing with this little one again.
Good.
That was right after your sickness.
This one?
That time? That
no, this is 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
or
wow.
A week ago or something. We did a show last week, right?
Right.
Sunday.
Right.
So, and the gig was on a Monday.
I see. So
wasn't
it was the following
it?
Day? Oh, it was a past Monday. I don't remember this.
No, it was like 5 or 6 days before we did the radio show, but I was humiliated. I had done another gig and kind of recovered myself. Oh, yeah, in fact, I had a great gig. We did a bunch of banyan gigs, and there was this
in
gig
San
in San Diego.
That's the one you
and it was all
about.
Set up to suck ass.
Yeah.
Ride, big hell ride.
Weird crowd.
Square John, baseball hat, tie-dye. But actually, they're very sweet people. You know, the tribe thing is weird. When you get to the essence of the human person, they're beautiful surprises, and they were righteous to play for. And I went there, I conked as soon as I got to there in the boat after the big hell ride. And so they pound on the hatch and I come out there and I didn't know what's going to happen. You know, last couple gigs I had there, I don't know. Just, and also the downer of the Dose gig and everything. And then Long Beach gig, actually I played a gig in between the Dose gig. It was a bang gig with Nels and no Nels. He had loaned out the big amp I gave him to Carla for the tour, and I had an amp where I couldn't hear him the whole gig. It was a nightmare. Remember at D. Piazza's?
Yeah,
you guys
were
there. You weren't there, but I know you guys were there. And
you
couldn't hear him.
Right.
And to do a gig with Nels and not hear him, it was fucked up. It was weak.
But, you know, the audience heard more than
yeah, but
bass.
How do I interact with him? The jam band like that. So here this gig is, and I asked the sound man, put him in the thing. I could hear him, and I had a good gig. And two sets, which I hate, because you got to pace yourself, and I did. I just went all out. Because I was going to be late, I knew it, and so I was going to conk there and not have to drive. That surprised me. That really surprised me. So you can't get it all figured out. I can't get too pressed on myself. But we were having a discussion here. Huh?
About elitists in music?
Yeah. Different scenes.
Different scenes.
Kind of like me talking baseball hat and tie-dye. That was ridiculous and stupid to judge people on something.
No, I mean, there's a different level. I think there's one extent is judgment, one is the assessment. You know, you want to prepare yourself to see what you're going into with an open mind, that you are open to have your minds change at any moment. That's different. And we were talking about elitist music, like certain avant-garde people tend to stick with their own kind and not really break out into, say, what are we talking about, like rock
guys. Yeah, right. Because Dose is going to play with this improvisational band the same night as Richie Memorial, April 27th. And found out that Nels knows a lot of these people.
Right.
Of course.
Of course he knows.
And Nels, his ability to bridge all these genres, he doesn't have to play genre game.
Right.
Why?
I think he versatile.
Or why do people cut him the slack, actually? I know why he doesn't, because he's a gentleman and not prejudiced. But other people cut him huge slack. Is it because of the mastery he has?
I think he's versatile enough and have done enough body of work that people are accept him for what he is and willing to, you know, like, work with what he's got in his facility, sort of, you know, and open to him, because he'd been making literally a lot of noises for a long time. Right.
Yeah.
And somehow remains his own unique thing, you know, so people are actually drawn to him for that persistence, and as opposed to maybe somebody who only played
they're not threatened, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and wanting to try out avant-garde stuff, people tend, I mean, in that crowd seems to be like, well, you know, maybe you better know more of your shit than before coming talking to us or something, I don't know. I never had a conversation with them, but there's a certain vibe of like, you have no idea how much, you know, like how hard it is for us to remain, you know, doing what we do, kind of thing. That's kind of the vibe I get from them, so they're kind of protective.
Yeah, Sam has an interesting take. Sam Bennett, who played with me on the Brothers Sisters Daughter tour, because he's been in that scene a long time, and I wouldn't say cynical, but he said some kind of things that were kind of like, some of those cats aren't so open-minded. It's kind of like a turf war. When I think of genres and all this stuff, I always think it's from marketing people to make their job easier. To actually have it come from other musicians. Right.
And look, on the other hand, I feel like they might think that, okay, well, you being a rock guy, you played with thousands of people all the time. We have played persistently for like 5 people in a crowd, know. So they kind of like.
But I've done them gigs.
Sure. But
character builders.
But this, you know, so it's almost like, what do you want from us? You know.
I like to learn new music. When you play with different people, you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, but then, you know, I was talking to Shawnee here about how I believe that, you know, all changes and transition occur if, you know, the people exchange dialogue more often instead of just shutting minds and think that they have the ultimate truth, you know. And as an outsider, and I'm not foreign to being an outsider, I feel like the persistence, consistency of like keep knocking on doors and say, hey, you know, I'm not a threat to you. I am your friend.
What about kicking open doors?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just the last resort. And I have that, too. But I haven't had to do that.
Yeah, you know about peeking or fighting thing?
Yeah.
You going to go?
Yeah, we're going to put one on.
Yeah.
Have you been fighting with her?
Oh, no. I'm smart.
No, I mean in the sport way.
Yeah. No, I haven't gone. Not yet. She's invited me a few times.
She's into this. There's that, and then just a photograph and boxers.
Yeah,
they're two different things, right?
I kind of combined my interests. You know, I started training, started with boxing 5 years ago, and kind of escalated into mixed martial arts. Now it's all out.
Right.
But since I'm not gonna let go of photography, which is my main thing. I just kind of combine. You know,
disciplines.
I'll go.
Is there a rivalry between boxers and ultimate fighters?
No, not really. At the beginning, maybe, but you know, now it's just kind of boxers are kind of stupid. We're talking about elitists. Boxers,
it's almost like music.
Boxers are a little bit elitist because they do train really hard.
Yeah, They invest a lot of...
They both do, but, you know, it's like to be able to knock somebody out just with punches is actually... takes a lot
more... Oh, you think they're tougher than an Ultimate Fighter?
Well, there's more strategies within a limited realm. When the Ultimate Fighting, you have all this mixture of martial arts. You can use different techniques to try to submit or knock out or, you know...
Yeah.
So it's different ways of getting to the victory. So...
You know, Nels was talking last night in the studio about his father and his reaction to boxing and just...
Oh,
not into it.
I never heard it, but
you weren't listening. Really, you were self-involved.
Like any
you were doing your own innocent thing. But we were talking to my father, and because my mother likes boxing. I noticed there's a lot of women like boxing.
Really?
Yeah, there's something about it.
Okay, not in my experience, but okay.
Yeah, not actually them doing it, but
right,
watching it.
Right.
And like Nels is like, oh no, haven't we evolved? He said that's what his father told him.
Yeah. I'm aware of his view on it. Carla likes.
Carla, see what I say.
Yeah.
There's something about the women liking it.
Yeah, but this is a really not good representation of men and women here, Nelson. Carla, you know.
No.
Like really something else.
They're individuals.
Yeah.
See, we're here to celebrate the individual.
I like boxing.
You like boxing?
Yeah. I'm disturbed watching women box for some reason. So it's
what about jello fights?
Well, I haven't seen that, but
not much damage to be done there. No, I
didn't want me to jello fight.
I actually never liked it until I started doing it. Then I know what I'm looking for, you know?
Yeah.
So, but...
But you could enjoy bass playing without playing bass, maybe, no?
Well, actually, I started playing bass.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, not recently, but I used to be in a rockabilly band.
No.
You never told us that.
I used to play bass, yeah.
What?
In Fresno.
Fresno?
All right.
For like a second. And I, you know.
Are there any recordings?
Tiny time.
No. I gave up my career. Immediately.
Why?
You want to start another one?
Because like I've been hanging out people who can do it better, so I was like, what?
Taya's been doing music on her own.
Yeah.
Solia?
Sola Musica.
Sola Musica. Right. But you didn't bring any.
No.
Damn.
Next time, I will.
Well, Sean brought some fruit bats.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play something by them, we're going to play some Calvin Johnson, and we'll play some improv.
Beautiful otherness.
6 feet under, and that will be. Above everything, above everything. you need my interviews. Do you think, don't you wish you never, never met her? 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 Don't you wish you never, never met her?
Lick my legs and I'm on fire. Lick my legs and I'm desire. Lick my legs and I'm on fire. Lick my legs and I'm desire.
What from Pedro Show. That was Rid of Me by P.J. Harvey. You picked that, Talia?
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I love her.
P.J. Harvey?
Yeah, and I love that song.
Here, use the mic.
I love her, and I love that song. She's an inspiration to me.
Okay. Yeah. I'm into that. We heard We Believe by Gary Floyd and the Buddha Brothers before that. One of my favorite singers ever, Gary Floyd. The late great Dix, although I think they've been playing some reunited shows. And before that, Motoko Honda with On the Toe. That's improviser Dose is playing with on the 27th, and her gang, which includes some Nels Klein people, I think, Jeff Gautier, and Golia, and his twin brother Alex Klein. But I don't know if they're playing that night. I don't know what crew she's got. What was me? There's no question mark, so that's a statement. What was me? So he's telling you he was what?
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson and the Sons of the Soil. Calvin Johnson, an incredible performer. I got to witness him solo at Zephyr in Long Beach, Veggie Pad, and he blew my doors off. It was wild. He was really inspiring.
Was a singer again?
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. And we started with something you picked, Sean. Bent playing a song called Beautiful Otherness.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Well, my other CD that I wanted to play the song off of was damaged. So that was the replacement. And I
That's right. We didn't hear Fruit Bats because it's people, you got to have sleeves to carry your CDs in because they get scratched. Is that the lesson
Correct.
You learned? Yeah.
That's the lesson I learned.
Me too.
So all you folks out there, pay attention.
Okay.
Use sleeves.
But what about this song that we ended up playing?
It's just lovely. I like it a lot. There's a lot to it.
You're a fan of lovely music.
Lovely music, yes. I love lovely music. And I like not so lovely music too, but
Arr. This
is a good driving song if you're driving. You're listening to this while you drive, I think.
Speaking of driving, car wreck. I'm so glad you weren't hurt, Talia.
Me too.
And she's going to get her car fixed. Peek's going to get her car fixed, though she's driving it.
I have no choice.
And what was the lesson to be learned there? If you're tired, pull over, right?
Yeah, that's
she had
pumped
four parked cars. Conk.
Learning that from you.
From me?
Yeah, just conk wherever you have a chance to.
Yeah. I've done that.
Richard Bonney was conking in his truck when I was up in SF.
See, he's going around.
He's using Kenny and Lisa's shower and pewter, but he conks in the truck out front.
Oh, shit. What?
Maybe that shouldn't be on the radio.
You raise back up.
Richard fucking Bonney, though. I love the man. And when I heard that.
It's cool, though, right?
Things are right. I guess maybe a little bit of sun in the windows. I don't know.
Let's just not talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was shook up a little bit. That was a trip. Gig tonight with the Missing Men. The Missing Men are going to be present men because they're getting presents.
Yeah.
And they're going to work their presents with Chato Ghetto at the Prospector in Long Beach. And next week at Lokonga with Todd Cangellieri, one of his bands. It's something that Craig Abar is putting on. Great to have half Pedro shows. Yeah. But mile and a half drive, way into that. And even tonight, 8 Mile, I think, to Prospectors. I like the tiny drives.
Yeah.
Way into it. Homegrown
there's
thing.
There too, huh?
Yeah.
Prospector, yeah, there's a room for it, in fact. Because that that's pad's cool been thing. Around. That pad's been around.
Yeah. I like the murals.
I remember going there and passing by it on the way to Long Beach State when I was a meter reader in Long Beach for Edison. In the meantime, what do I do? Oh, yeah, I got a lot of recording to do at the Thunderpan studio, but then also more with the Black Gang album. And May 9th, I leave for a week recording in Tokyo with Mr. Shimmy and Ms. Yuko for the Richard Meltzer Spielgusher project, which is incredible for me. We got 4 days to do 53 songs. And I also get to play twice and with Light again. You know what? I don't think I said Light or Full Armor when we played their songs, but those are the brothers that I toured with in February. And I get to play in Tokyo with Sam Bennett on drums. Good old Sam. And who, by the way, I told you he was part of the improvise scene in New York City. He's from Alabama, but he played a lot of gigs with Elliot Sharp, who is not stuck up about that genre divisions.
Yeah.
Elliot was right. He made an album with me and Georgie called Bootstrappers. So there's lots of people, you know, like anything. I hope I didn't sound like I was down on those folks.
No,
I actually like their courage.
And
that's what I'll be doing in Tokyo with these gigs, is improvising the moment. That's why I did that whole tour. So Sam will be on drums for one and for both gigs, and Mr. Shimmy on guitar. But the Mars gig on May 15th is with Jim O'Rourke, which is great. He's making a new album at the moment. He used to be in Sonic Youth, and he now lives in Tokyo, and I learned the language in 1 year.
I think Mel's mentioned that you were doing that. Yeah.
Incredible. Jim O'Rourke, beautiful, beautiful man.
And
then the next day, Super Deluxe, with the guy who runs it, this guy, Gene, he's lived there 13 years now, and he's from Fresno.
Right.
His name is Mike. He's a great cat. And when I said I was going to be there, he said, come on and play. And so that's a great thing for me. I get to, it's going to be hard, but it's worth it. And then when I come back, 2 weeks later, the Stooges tour starts. And I think that's going to go off and on till September, October.
Wow.
Yeah, the festivals and stuff, our season. Again, happy birthday to Iggy.
Yeah.
Another trip around the sun, 61st. He's amazing. He's amazing. Incredible cat. So there's going to be some U.S. gigs. I know of a few already, so... And a lot overseas, of course, with the festival. So if you got a chance, come see Stooges. I think we're going to play some more songs we're adding to the set. Because I go to Madrid a day early. They said the Prac day. So we got Prac. So I think there's new songs coming up. Hopefully they'll enlighten me to which ones they are before I leave. But, you know, I have to learn in the moment. Okay. I have a new boiler suit. They said the other one was getting a little... tired, so got it the same pad in Hollywood, supply sergeant, same color, same everything, same what? Not as big a mustache. Mine's more like yours now, brother Matt. I don't want him on the side hanging so much.
Just
over
like
the it's like a potato head thing. Don't you guys wish you could have mustaches?
Oh, no.
No way.
Yeah, I always think about that.
Vinny's.
Wax?
Yeah. He said he lost the mustache contest.
He lost it?
Yeah. I don't know why. It was sharp.
Oh. Wow. I've never been in one of those.
You should.
Why?
Why not?
Yes, the question is
you should
why
be in
not?
That. Why? Why not?
You like mustaches.
Sometimes.
I don't.
Okay. But yeah, Light guys, they got a new album coming out, and it'll be great to play with them again, see those guys again. So I'm really looking forward to coming over there. And Mr. Shumi made me my own fuzz box. He says it's called Lot Fuzz. He says it's a mellow box.
Oh, what?
Yeah, to play bass through a fuzz tone, like distortion, huh?
That's
I'm not
awesome.
Big on effects or anything, but what a beautiful man. He's making me my own special
that's
from his
so
own
sweet.
Hand. Yeah, he's incredible. And he can play, wow. Most humble guy. So,
nice.
Anyway, thanks for coming aboard. Thanks for having us here at the Love Grotto.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pleasure point. And maybe next week we have another show, huh? Okay. All right. And congrats again on Brother Matt being Teacher of the Year 2008, Angel State High School.
All right.
Okay, everybody out there, this April 20th, 2008 edition of Wap for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.